Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Jackie Hendry, in today for Lori Walsh. Over the weekend, the whereabouts of Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the leader of ISIS, was thought to be determined, and Sunday morning, President Donald Trump confirmed that U.S. Special Forces raided his compound, resulting in Baghdadi's death. Tim Shorn is the Director of International Studies and an Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of South Dakota, and he joins us today from SDPB's Vermilion Studio with a bigger picture look at what this means for the future of ISIS and U.S. involvement in the Middle East. Dr. Shorn, thanks for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
All right. So this is a complicated one if you haven't been paying attention for a while.
Yes.
So we have kind of this big picture look, but first, for those who maybe didn't catch the announcement on Sunday, haven't been following updates since then, bring us a little bit up to speed. Who was Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, and what does it mean that he is now dead?
Mr. Baghdadi was one of a number of people from Iraq, Syria, and the larger Middle East who had originally joined al-Qaeda, but eventually decided that al-Qaeda was too measured in its activities and too limited in its goals, and they broke off and created what became known as the Islamic State. One of the major goals of the Islamic State, and therefore Baghdadi, was to create a new caliphate, a new Islamic state. And so he ordained himself, if you will, as caliph, something that hadn't been around since the 1920s. And he decided that he and his followers could create an Islamic state in parts of Syria, about half of Syria and about a third of Iraq at its height, about the size of the United Kingdom. Hmm. And what they created was something that was going to be rooted in a very, very conservative, even extreme form of Islam that looked back on, they would call it the golden days of Islam, probably the first couple of generations of Islam after the Prophet Muhammad. And they wanted to create a state based on that. And to a great extent, they did. Eventually, they lost their territory. They maintained their fighters. And clearly, Baghdadi was somebody who was going to be targeted by the United States and others in an attempt to kind of cut the head off the snake. Baghdadi was interesting in that he truly had religious credentials. Unlike anyone in al-Qaeda who were essentially kind of pretenders, Baghdadi had a doctorate in Islamic theology. It was clear that he was very much an extremist, but he had the religious credentials, the vision, and the desire to move forward. And as of Sunday, he is no more.
Hmm. And what does the future of the Islamic State, or ISIS, as we often refer to it, what does that look like now that he is gone? Is there a new leader that has been named, or what are we expecting now?
There have been two or three people who have been floated as potential successors. One was Baghdadi's and ISIS's spokesman, Abu Hassan al-Muhajir. He was the spokesperson. It appears that he has been killed also. Mm. But probably the person who is most likely to become the successor to Baghdadi is Alhaj Abdullah Kardash. He is a Turkmen Iraqi, which can cause some problems because many people in ISIS are going to want somebody who is Arab and who can trace their lineage back to the Prophet Muhammad. And there is some doubt that Kardash can do that. But he is a former military officer from Saddam Hussein's Iraqi army. He also does have some religious credentials. He was known as the professor. And it looks like he will probably be the successor. For how long, we don't know. What kind of support will he get from ISIS as a whole? We're not sure. But at least we can expect that there will be a next generation of leadership. What that will mean for the future of ISIS as a whole, we can't be sure yet.
Sure. And my next question probably also can't be sure quite yet, but what does this latest development mean for U.S. involvement in the Syria, Iraq, Turkey region as far as dealing with the Islamic State?
And that's a good question, and the answer seems to change relatively quickly. We do know that the announcement that American forces would leave Syria and essentially abandon the Kurds did throw this mission into a bit of disarray, because now we no longer had the forces on the ground working directly with the Kurds, and so it's perhaps the timetable had to be quickened, if you will, mm-hmm. and that we needed to act faster as not to lose sight of where he was, what he was doing. The question now becomes, do we have enough forces to be an effective stopgap against the rise of ISIS, and or does the administration have an interest in keeping forces there to prevent the rise of ISIS? And we can't be completely sure. We can probably be sure that ISIS is going to attempt to fill that vacuum created by the United States withdrawal, and to try to reconstitute, at least in some form, the Islamic State.
And speaking of the administration, President Trump saying over the weekend, and of course throughout time, that dealing with Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi being his administration's primary foreign policy goal, now that that's occurred, how do you suppose this works into Trump's reelection campaign? What does the feeling seem to be?
Well, and that I guess we can't be completely sure about. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think everyone is pretty happy that Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi is no longer on the scene, but we have to be careful in kind of following that path to a conclusion that ISIS is no longer going to be an active force, and mm-hmm. I think that would be a dangerous conclusion. So while President Trump is going to be able to claim success in eliminating Baghdadi, there is still a larger battle ahead of us, and that is preventing ISIS from reconstituting itself either in Iraq and Syria or elsewhere and continuing their fight abroad. And it's also possible that, down the road in another year, we will have, for the most part, forgotten about the elimination of Baghdadi, because he never had the household name that Osama bin Laden had. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew bin Laden, but I don't suppose that most Americans followed Baghdadi as they did bin Laden, because Baghdadi never carried out the size or scale of an attack that bin Laden was behind, that al-Qaeda was behind. So it may not help President Trump in his re-election campaign as much as he had hoped, because my guess is there will be more issues that follow between now and next November, which will also grab the country's eyes and ears.
Mm-hmm. And that confirms a suspicion that I had, kind of thinking, growing up in a post 9/11 situation, knowing Osama bin Laden's name directly connected to something that was very salient for Americans. Al-Baghdadi not having that same household recognition, as you said, at least here stateside, whereas ISIS is maybe more of the household name that is feared. A person is less directly connected. So I wonder how much dealing with any individual leader as time goes on will really impact perceptions of the administration's success. I don't know if that's more of a conversation that you hear or something, a comparison that has any merit.
Well, and it's interesting, and you raise a couple of points that, ISIS represented a significant threat to the Middle East, especially as we looked at Syria, Iraq, Jordan, probably Lebanon, up into Turkey, because they had such a large, concentrated fighting force. They had an effective government. They had an effective chain of command. They had moved from the kind of al-Qaeda role of kind of a guerrilla attacks and terrorist attacks to actually engaging in set-piece battles. And so ISIS was probably the larger threat over time to the region and perhaps to other parts of the world as well. Al-Qaeda garnered our attention precisely because they had decided to attack the far enemy, a country like the United States that supported the governments in the Middle East that Al-Qaeda considered illegitimate. So we tended to view Al-Qaeda and ISIS through the prism of what have they done to us, what can they do to us? And so our focus was very much on Osama bin Laden and less on Baghdadi, whereas folks living in the region that I had mentioned were probably much more concerned about the forces of Baghdadi. So it's not always about the individual leader, but it's about the plans and the capabilities of the organization that the leader is in charge of. Clearly, it's difficult to separate the leader from the organization because in both cases, it was Osama bin Laden for Al-Qaeda, it was Baghdadi for ISIS, who brought the vision, the organizational capabilities, the capacity to engage in the activities they did. But ISIS was clearly an organization that was much more able to act on its intentions. And even though, to a great extent, they were sometimes lost, and certainly Baghdadi's name was lost in the conversations in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Shorn, I'm curious about, in your work as a professor, working with college students here in South Dakota, how do events like these impact conversations in your classroom? Do you see young adults in South Dakota paying close attention to these names and these events, or is it still fairly nebulous for them?
I think we probably have less of an active engagement now than we did earlier after 9/11, where we had so many South Dakota men and women going to Afghanistan, and then in 2003 going to Iraq, and we had a real connection to what was going on, a real personal connection, and then we saw that in the classroom as veterans returned. Because so many of these veterans were young people. They were 18, 19, 23, 24-year-olds who had been serving in the military or were the active military or were in the Guard or Reserve and now had returned from deployment and decided to pursue their education. So we had that real connection that continued on as we watched these young men and women we knew, and as South Dakotans saw their brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers, et cetera, coming back. We're not seeing that now because we have drawn down our forces to a great extent, and while there are continued deployments to the Middle East, they are much fewer, and so that connection seems a lot less tangible. Also, whereas ISIS never carried out the type of attack that we saw Al-Qaeda carry out in the United States, we don't necessarily imagine or think of what ISIS is up to in our home country like we did with Al-Qaeda. So I think there is a less tangible connection today amongst the student population to ISIS than it was to Al-Qaeda. That's not to say that that can't change, mm-hmm. and it's not to say that students aren't informed, but there seems to be a less tangible reason to keep up with what was going on because we haven't suffered at the hands of ISIS quite as badly.
Mm-hmm. My guest has been Tim Shorn. He's the Director of International Studies and an Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of South Dakota, helping us put the weekend's killing of Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi into a broader perspective. Dr. Shorn, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate your perspective.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.